There are more non-believers, atheists, agnostics, and so on than there are Jews and blacks and gays combined. And they all have a voice at the table.
Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh for Reason TV. We're here with Michael Shermer, publisher of Skeptic Magazine and a columnist for Scientific American. Thank you for joining us. The current issue of Skeptic, which I have right here, takes on happiness studies. And I mean, it's all a bunch of crap, right?
For the most part, the idea that if you just will it to happen, or you tell children that their self-esteem should be high and therefore it's high, or you just tell the universe you want a Jaguar or whatever. I mean, it's basically circumventing the way you normally earn a living and earn self-esteem. The way happiness is actually achieved is by just going out and having productive work and a family and friends and just doing stuff.
How about these sort of cultural studies, like where Bhutan will come up as the happiest country on earth?
Income is only one factor. Obviously, you need 3 square meals a day and enough money to have a roof over your head and to the basics of life. People that don't have that are truly less happy. But once the basics are met, it turns out that people can find all sorts of ways of being happy without all the material culture that we're used to. Part of the issue, though, that complicates the studies is that your baseline of where you start depends on what culture you're in. So if you're used to making $40,000 a year, $80,000, $200,000 a year, and you just sort of get used to a certain baseline, this is called the hedonic treadmill. You get on this treadmill of always chasing the value above where you've been rather than some baseline for just basic essentials.
The hedonic treadmill, though, is that's why evolution happens, isn't it? I mean, that's why people improve themselves because they're never content.
I think so, right. Our evolved propensity is to constantly be searching. Even the most basic stuff like hunger. What hunger does when you're low in calories is it makes you more active. Well, that's sort of counterintuitive. Wouldn't you want to shut the system down to conserve energy? No, actually, the more active you are, the more likely you are to get out there and do something. Even something like depression may be an evolved tool to jolt you into making some major life change because the thing you've been doing just isn't working. As you sink lower and lower in despair, you really need to make a major change, job change, career change, marital change, you know, something like that.
You're not used to thinking that somebody who's way in the dumps is actually going to come up with the next idea because they have no choice.
Right. It's very difficult to predict. Of course, after the fact, the self-help gurus always tell the story, the success stories. Dropping out of college at Reed for starting Apple or Harvard for starting Microsoft, that's the correct pathway. No, that's actually not the pathway. Statistically speaking, a college education will make you more money than not having a college education.
You're active in the atheist movement, at least as a friend or fellow traveler. Where are we with that?
In terms of what percentage of Americans are non-believers, atheists, whatever, it usually hovers around 10%, slightly less. But if you expand it to include all the sort of New Age, Deepak Chopra type spiritualism, they don't believe in a personal God that intervenes. If we count them, that's more like 15 to 20% if you also throw in the people that never go to church and don't care about religion. Whether somebody believes in a God or not, I don't really care that much. It's what they do with that. If it causes them to fly planes into buildings or blow up abortion clinics or change legislative policy or public school, what's taught in public schools, stuff like that, now that's a problem. So it's actually like 20%. Well, there's 300 million Americans. That's 60 million Americans. There are more non-believers, atheists, agnostics, and so on than there are Jews and blacks and gays combined. And they all have a voice at the table. They're at least there. They get to vote on things, and they have a representative, and we don't. So it's it's a consciousness-raising effort with the new atheism to say, look, it's not okay to say these things about atheists anymore. We're strong.
Right. Okay. What did you think of President Obama? It's a while now, and he's obviously disappointed everybody since then. But at his inauguration, singling out non-believers as part of the American fabric.
It was great. Yeah, we love that, of course. And I mean, like any politician, he has to say God bless America. Because of the Muslim stuff, he had to come out and make a big deal about his Christianity. I don't think it is a big deal for him. And I don't think it was before with, say, Clinton, even Reagan, even Bush 1. Before the rise of communism, being an atheist was not a big deal. Communism was a state religion in a way. Marxism, Leninism is a faux religion. So therefore, atheism gets associated with that, and therefore, like, teaching evolution makes you an atheist, atheist makes you a communist, ergo, we can't teach evolution in public school. This is the mindset today that didn't used to be there. People have to remember, it wasn't until the 50s that he put "In God We Trust" on the coins and "Under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance, only because of this whole communism thing.
Speaking of things that religious people have trouble with, You've been thumping the tub pretty effectively for the really clear connection, let's say, between natural selection and a free market economy, that right-thinking people all believe in Darwinism, yet you know, nobody will accept it. Like an unregulated market, that would be total chaos. It would be people thumping each other over the head. And
right. It's a curious thing. But again, I think part of the problem is that most academics and people in science are liberals. They don't see that there's a connection between natural selection and the invisible hand. They just automatically distrust markets. They've just never learned how markets really work. It's not a perfect analogy. I mean, we have to have, there has to be some rules by which the game is played. It'd be like playing sports without rules. No, okay, we have to have rules. But within the guidelines of how things are done, markets are the best tool ever devised for generating wealth and prosperity.
What's the fallacy that you've discussed when someone looks at a problem and they can't imagine solving it themselves?
Yeah. The one fallacy is the argument from personal incredulity. Because I can't think of the solution, then there can't be a solution. So educated and intelligent people are especially bad about that because, first of all, they have big egos. Second of all, they know a lot. And so they can rationalize the beliefs they already hold and then easily discount the beliefs they don't want to believe in. And so that's part of a larger thing called the argument from ignorance. Just because we don't know yet what the solution is doesn't mean there isn't a solution. Just because evolutionists can't explain, say, the chemical origins of life, we have about 6 different theories, but we're not settled on that yet. It's okay. That doesn't mean that intelligent design is correct. So that would be an argument from ignorance. So just because we can't think of how an entire national police force could operate through strict private industry and markets, or a military could be run privately or something like that, doesn't mean that there isn't a solution. It's just that in our case, there aren't many people working on it. I mean, we libertarians are small in number compared to the vast sea of status.
Skeptic is a global warming acceptor. That puts you at odds with a lot of libertarians who are...
I guess so. In this case, I just follow the data. I try to keep politics out of it. I was originally a global climate skeptic because of all the stuff that happened in the 70s and 80s when I was in college. You know, all the predictions that were made, all of Paul Ehrlich's doomsday stuff, and he lost all those bets to Julian Simon. And boy, I was right on board with the skepticism
and
stuff.
And the killer bees. Don't forget the killer bees.
And there's lots of examples of that. Okay, so now, actually looking at the data, I think there's pretty good evidence that global warming is real and at least partially human-caused. After that, I become more skeptical. How much warmer is it going to get? The error bars grow wider the further the time horizon is. What are the consequences going to be of this warming trend? It depends on how much warmer it'll get. If it's just a fraction of a degree, probably no effects at all. If it's 1 or 2 degrees, maybe moderate effects. What should we do about it? Well, I'm really skeptical about spending trillions of dollars on a Manhattan Project-sized government program to fix it, because most of the studies I've seen show that spending trillions of dollars will only bump down the levels of carbon dioxide a tiny bit and change the, say, in 100 years or 500 years from now or 1,000 years from now, the global climate by just half a degree or 1 degree at most. It would be nice to get off fossil fuels anyway. We have a lot of work to do on that, but hybrid cars, electric cars, alternative fuels, these are good anyway, I think.
The ClimateGate email issue, was that, I mean, ultimately, is that really an ad hominem issue, or was there something for real there?
It turns out there was no big smoking gun in there. There really wasn't. I mean, I really looked. I followed that pretty closely, thinking, whoa, this could shift me back. Skepticism, nah, there wasn't much in there. All it really showed was that scientists are tribal like everybody else. They make fun of people they don't like. They speak harshly of them. You know, that everybody does that.
Well, you're the skeptic. At what point are we going to run out of stupid things that people believe?
Fortunately for my job prospects for the future, never. Unfortunately for society, this is always going to be a problem. The reason is, in short, because we're pattern seekers. Why people believe weird things is answered by why people believe things at all. And that is because that's learning. Connecting A to B is just learning. The problem is we don't have a baloney detection module in our brain to say that's a false positive, that's a false negative, that's a real pattern, that's not a real pattern. The only way that we have is reason and science.